Now the fourth dimension, which is the public dimension. The public dimension. The fourth dimension is the battle for the public ministry. Yes. The battle for the public ministry. This is where you are seen in the open. You are preaching, everybody is seeing you. Like what I'm doing now, it's a public dimension. And ministry. In this dimension, you have to fight with familiarity in the people. Because you are going to be with the same people every Sunday. You have to come and talk to them. How to fight against familiarity, which is the number one killer of the greatest anointing. Never be familiar with your pastor. Your pastor may bring you close, but be careful of the spirit of familiarity. Familiarity is knowing someone too much. So much that you have lost your sense of awe and admiration. Yes. You've lost your sense of awe and admiration. Because you see the person's humanity. You see his weakness. Because human beings are full of weakness. Yes. But you shouldn't confuse your pastor's divinity with his humanity. Yes. You shouldn't do what? Confuse your pastor's divinity with his humanity. As a man, you will see that he's a man. That's why the high priest is taken from amongst men. Not from amongst angels. Men. You see that he's a man. And who is a man? Like Paul said, in me dwelleth nothing good. Evil is in man. So the fact that he's a man of God doesn't mean he can't make a mistake. And he won't make a mistake. And he shan't make a mistake. He can make a mistake. But don't confuse his divinity with his humanity. There's a divine calling. There's an element of God in him that makes him divine. That's why he's called a man of God. He's a man, but of God. That's the divinity part. And sometimes, if you have not been brought close to your pastor, you wouldn't see his humanity. It's true. So those of you who are not mature, don't come close to your pastor. Stay far and relate. You come and you say, hey, my pastor, he likes sausage. We brought him 20 sausages. He has eaten all. Now look at you. Serious. So every pastor must learn to overcome familiarity. Yes. You must learn to overcome familiarity. I'm always watching my team and my people around me. Yes. Recently I had to rebuke one of my helpers. Yes. She came to my office and he took her power. I wasn't in there. No, the thing to charger. And he just went to find something on the wall to charge. I said, remove it. Don't come and charge your phone in my office. Is it your office? I had to correct her. She said, oh, Bishop, I'm sorry. I said, you have to be sorry. You are becoming familiar. This is my office. You don't get up as if you are some office that is for all of us. Yes. I have to tell you, this is my toilet. It's not a public toilet. This is my office toilet. You don't use it. When you want to use it, go and use another place. Oh, yes. You have to fight familiarity. Yes. Some people say, oh, me, I don't want to be close to my pastor because I'll become familiar. Well, John was very close to Jesus, was not familiar. Judas was close, he became familiar. So you choose. John was spiritual. Yes. I'm close to the prophet, but I'm never familiar. The closer I get, the more my admiration for him grows, 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 grows. My admiration, it grows. It keep growing. Yes. That's why he lay hands on me. I didn't bath my hair for 7 days. Okay. The hand means something to me. Yeah, the hand means something. It means something. It's nice to me. It's something. Yes. I don't see it as an ordinary hand. Yes. Bible says, and Jesus could not do any mighty work except to lay his hands on a few. Mark chapter 6. He went to his own people. And you see the familiarity. They say, ah, whoa, this guy, who is he? Don't we know his father? Don't we know his mother? Don't we know his brothers and sisters here? We know him. It's like we know him. You see, familiarity, knowing someone too much that you have lost your sense of awe and admiration. And Jesus, God who has become man, wanted to do something to bless the people. Because you always want to bless the people around you, your family and all that. But because of familiarity. Familiarity. Because of familiarity. That they know you too much. They saw you when you were a baby. When you were pooping on yourself and running around. And people, they were knocking your head. Yes. That's how come when he went to Nazareth and announced that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, the people were filled with anger. The Bible said they were filled with wrath, anger, extreme anger, that they wanted to even beat him. Because like, we know you. You are coming to tell us that you are anointed. You are coming to preach to us. You want to heal our diseases. Who born you? Who born dog? Seriously. They wanted to lynch him to death. Then he had to find a way to disappear and run away. They said, we know you. Jesus wanted, he wanted to lay hands on the people and no mighty works. Mark chapter 6, look at verse 4 and 5. Bible says, verse 4, 5. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor. By his own country and in his own house. I'm a prophet. I'm supposed to have honor. But the only place I'm not having honor is among my own people. Because they know me too much. That's why when you're a pastor, don't expose yourself too much. Don't let people become too familiar with you. You have to always add some mysteries to your life. Yeah, to help them. And he could there do no mighty work. There, where they were familiar. That they will not honor him. They will not esteem him more highly. Do you see? Yeah. There, he could not do mighty work. Save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So he immediately disappeared from them. Walk away from people who are familiar with you. Yes, walk away from them. Yes. And there are four groups of people who suffer from familiarity. Number one is your spouse. Yeah, your wife. Your husband. Your colleagues. And close friends. Yes. If ever those of you are here, if ever you become a wife to a great man of God, never become familiar with him. Because you see him farting in the room. And all the things. You have lost your awe, your sense of awe and admiration and respect. Don't confuse his divinity with what? His humanity. It's human beings who release gases. That's a sign that you are a human being. Even though when you look at the sister, you think they don't do such things. It's only the brothers who do such things. Yes. Sometimes you even look at some of the sisters, the way they are walking and all that. As if they never poo-poo. They never. You can't even look at their face and think that they do such things. Familiarity. Yes. So one day when you become a wife to a man of God, remember what I'm telling you. Don't become familiar. Like Rachel. Is it Rachel or Michael? Michael. Davis. Michael. Or Michael. David's wife. He became familiar with David. David was dancing so happily, dancing, enjoying, celebrating God, praising the Lord. And then his wife was just looking through the window, despising and looking at him with disdain. And as soon as he got home, he sorted him out. He said, "You are a disgrace to manhood. A king. Look at the way you are dancing. Dancing until your clothes are coming off. And all these young girls were just there looking around you." And David faced him, faced her. He said, "You, shame on you. You think I'm bothered by what you are saying? You are just in pain that God took away the kingdom and the kingship from your father and gave it to me. That's why you are talking like that. It pain you. Yes, it pain you. Look at it. David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. They pain you. God rejected your father and took the kingdom and the kingship from you and gave it to me. Therefore, I'm going to play before the father. I'm going to dance more. I'll do it more. Play before the Lord." And God was bored. And look at what God did to. Verse 22. Wow. "And I'll yet be more vile than that, that will be based in my own sight." He said, "I'm going to make myself nothing and dance as far as God is concerned." Oh, yes. Oh, yes. 23. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death." She's the only barren woman in the Bible who never had a child. The only. Anybody who was barren in the Bible had. The only at the point. The only person who never had a child was Michal. Yes. Because of familiarity. Yes. So when you are a wife to an anointed man of God, be very careful. Be very careful. Because what is upon the person is divine. And you speak against it, you. That's what happened to. What's the name? Miriam also. Yes, because Miriam was the elder sister of Moses. Yes. Because you think you are the elder sister or whatever. Look at your familiarity. Is he the only person God speaks to? Serious. And then Aaron, you too, because you were brought closer and he made you his assistant pastor, you too, no? As this guy is talking, you will say, "Shut up, don't talk like a fool." He was also listening and flowing. Familiarity. So when God came to talk to them, God asked them a question. You will see in verse 7 and 8, God asked them, said, "Were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Were you not afraid?" You know the fear. It's like you are supposed to be afraid. Yes. But you see, they were confusing his divinity with his humanity. Yes. God said, you should be afraid. You should have been afraid to speak against my servant Moses. You should be afraid looking at even the way I relate with him. I speak to him face to face, mouth to mouth, as a friend speaketh to a friend. This is how I relate with him. And if there's any other prophet I relate to, it's just dreams and visions. I let them wait to sleep, then I'll go and talk to them in a dream. But this one, I talk to him. I can be with him for 40 days and 40 nights. Hey! Are you not afraid of such a person? But familiarity will let you lose your sense of awe and admiration. It's a very dangerous thing, familiarity. Yes. Very, very dangerous. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God was asking, how come? I mean, God was shocked that Miriam was not afraid of Moses. Yes. Another time in Numbers chapter 16, there were three leaders in the church. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These three guys. Moses chose them and brought them closer to come and also do ministry, do something in the house of the Lord. One day, Moses called for a meeting. They told Moses, we will not come. We will not come. Then they started blasting Moses. Said that, you think you are God. You see too much, or you talk too much, or you think you are some great man. Who are you? We will not come. We will not come. Hey. Your pastor is calling. You say you won't come. Hey. You say you take too much upon yourself. You think you are better than anybody. You think that you are some great man. We too, we know God. We too, we pray. We too, we can do things. Yes. Moses was so angry. Then he released a curse on them. He said, listen, if the ground doesn't open for all of you to be swallowed alive, then God has not called me. Then God has not called me. That's heavy. And God also has to confirm that he called him. So he actually opened the ground and buried them. Yes. Even tomorrow, the Lord will show who are his and who is holy. Who is special. You say, I'm not special. Tomorrow, God will show you who is special. And I'll cause him to come near unto him. Who cause him to come near him. Even him who he has chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. The ground opened, swallowed these guys because of familiarity. You become so familiar, your pastor says, come for a meeting. Say you won't come. Your pastor is calling you. You look at the call and you cut it. You cut the call. But before, when you see your pastor's call, oh, hello, pastor. Hello, bishop. Now, when you see them, serious. Don't become familiar, right? Never in your life. Don't become familiar. And when you become a man of God, watch out for those who are familiar with you. Yes. And avoid people who are familiar with you. Walk away from people who are familiar with you. Don't go to places who are familiar with you. Yes. It will quench your anointing. Yes. When Jesus went to his people and they were familiar and he couldn't do any mighty work. Go back. Mark chapter 6. Go to verse 58. You'll see something there. Hello. Hello. Be fast. 56. And whithersoever he entered into villages, whithersoever he entered, change the version. This whether and either, sometimes it's too much. Wherever he went, wherever he went, wherever he went, in villages, cities, or the countryside. They brought the sick out to the marketplaces. They begged him. You see, his own people, they didn't beg him. He was rather forcing to do something for them. But these people were begging, begging, begging to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. You see, he wanted to lay hands on the people. But these people rather were begging that they would touch. He shouldn't lay hands. They would touch. They would touch. And all who touched him were healed. All. Not even one single person was not healed. All. But the place where they were familiar, he rather wanted to do something. He wanted to lay hands on them. He wanted to impact. He wanted to bless them. He wanted to do mighty miracles. It wouldn't work. Of familiarity, dishonor. Yeah. But the place that they were not familiar, nobody knew so much about, nobody knew his background, nobody knew his whatever. Yes. You see, one day I went to a place with my wife, a country. So that's why men of God, we travel. Because the further you go, the more your anointing works. Because the people don't know you. They don't know any bad thing about you. They haven't heard bad stories. Because Satan is a good tale bearer. He spreads stories, lies, and whatever. And when you hear all this, it affects you. You can't receive in a certain way. But when you go to place, they only know you as your name. You have come, a man of God. So I went to a place like that. We went for a wedding. When we were driving out of the place, a woman started following my car. Elderly woman. So I saw somebody was running after my car, so I stopped. Then she came. He said, "Prophet, I've been married for 10 years. I cannot have a child." I said, "What is the problem?" So the doctor said this, that, that. So I cannot have a child. I've had surgery, removed this, fibroids, plenty fibroids, that. So I cannot have a child. And I'm 40 years. I looked at her. I said, "Next time I come here, you'll be showing me your chart." She said, "Amen." That was the only prayer. And I drove off. I went a year after. I was in the pastor's office. The pastor said, "I have a surprise for you." I said, "Surprise? What is a surprise?" Then came this woman with her husband and with a baby. I had even forgotten. So I said, "Who are these?" He said, "That, do you remember last year when you came here? I was the one who ran after you." I said, "Yes." He said, "This is the child you prophesied." Wow. Yes. But in my church where I am, I have couples who are also looking for a child. They haven't even come to me and say, "Please pray for me." Sometimes I have to be preaching and I will intentionally say, "If you want a child, come, let me pray for you." Before they will come. But they have never come to me and said, "Bishop, please, me, I need a child. I need that. When you pray for me, it's going to happen." Familiarity. Yes. It's a very wild thing. Yes. So it's a dimension to fight against familiarity. When you are in the public ministry, it's one of the fights that you fight. Don't let people become familiar with you. Else, your anointing will not work on them. Yes. So that's why in our church, we honor our prophet. Because we don't want to be familiar with the anointing on his life. We honor our prophet. That's why we have a campaign called Honor Your Prophet Campaign. It's a campaign to fight familiarity. So that the gift of God, the anointing on his life, will work for all of us. Yes, we don't want to be affected. Other people are rather enjoying. Look at Jesus. And people are rather touching and getting healed. And his own people, he wants to even touch them. It will not work. Serious. Look at verse 57. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. We are finished. This one is chapter. But Jesus, look at it. Even before then, 55, 54. 54, 54. And when they were come out of the ship straight away, they knew him. They said, hey, Charlie, this man is in town. This great man of God is in town. Then verse 55. They ran and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. People were chasing him with their sick family members. Say, ah, he's going to this village. They are following. They are carrying everybody. Running. Hey! Familiarity is a what, you know? Yes, the greatest anointing. Whose anointing was greater than Jesus? It could not work in a certain way because of familiarity. Yes. So be careful. Those of you who are familiar with your pastors, it's not good. You can be closer, but always maintain your sense of admiration and awe. Yes. Always, always. Don't be a fool. Yes. 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 Sometimes when they are even coming too low, you have to tell yourself that my pastor is trying to come too low. I'll not join him. Even talk about his marital issues. Pretend that you don't know what he's talking about. And change the topic. Yeah, change the topic. You have to change it. Don't say anything. Find something to talk about. Or find a way to excuse yourself and run out of the room and say, I'm coming to take something. And yes. Because it's a problem. Before you realize, you have become Miriam. You are speaking against the man of God's marriage or have a comment to make. Yes. Amen.